How big is the sky? How far does it reach? A million stars I cannot count, and yet they all shine down on me. The soul of who I am, I believe I know it's love, as far as eyes can see, love that goes beyond what I thought love could be. The Father's grace shines through His Son who came to me and lights the sky with love. As far as eyes can see.
How great and how wide, how perfect and free, this unrelenting love
that somehow reaches out, embracing me. I'm overwhelmed, I'm swept away, to think the God of heaven has come to earth today. It's love, as far as eyes can see, love that goes beyond what I thought love could be. The Father's grace shines through His Son who came to me and lights the sky. Starry sky, beholding heaven's glory. So thankful to the Lord that I can be part of the story. To see the glories heaven sent and hear the angel voices. With every breath I dare to take, my trembling heart rejoices. It's love, as far as eyes can see. Love that goes beyond what I thought love could be. The Father's grace shines through His Son who came to me and lights the sky with love. As far as eyes can see,
good morning. How's everybody doing? Hello. Some people might be thinking, he's breaking all the rules. Okay. Let's open up with prayer, okay? Father God, it's good to be here this morning to worship you, to remember your Son. Man, it's getting close to Christmas, and that seems to be the time where we pay special attention to the story of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you sent. No one as humble as Him, no one as obedient as Him to your call. and mission for him. That he came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's us, God. Thank you so much for that gift of life through Christ. I feel like I go on forever, Lord, and I look forward to the times where we get to have together in smaller groups to pray, as individuals to pray with one another, and Lord, corporately, it's a special opportunity to remember you together as a family. So would you bless our service today? Would you bless the baptism also? And the new little one, Chevy, who's making a profession of faith today. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, it's time for our favorite part of the day, our announcements. Okay. Did someone scoff? What was going on? So we're going to move through this, okay, because we have some important things to get to. Just a reminder that we need shoveling volunteers, all right? And we're going to be having a greeters meeting in the back, and that will be a part of that service, okay? So just so you know, shoveling volunteers needed, and just kind of jumping ahead there, we're going to need that meeting. It's going to take place behind my office in the classroom where Brother Tom usually teaches, okay? All right. 2019 church t-shirts, okay? So we're actually running out of time. Today is the last day to order your t-shirt, okay? So if you have not done so, please see Sister Cheryl or Sister Lynn. They have a good idea of what's going on with that registration process, okay? All right. Men's basketball, okay? It's about to get real on Monday nights, y'all. Okay? We're calling all the hoopers, all right? So if you used to live in Indiana, I know you're about this, okay? I know about those Indiana residents, okay? So Monday night, men's basketball fellowship, 6:30 p.m., okay? We're asking that we limit the age. The youngest that would be able to come would be 16 years of age to participate, all right? All right. Upward basketball, okay? Just a reminder that the end is near for early discount registration, which runs through December 15th, okay? Final day for registration will be December 22nd. A special thank you to all the volunteers that came out for this last Saturday. Yesterday's evaluation went pretty smoothly, and so that would not have been possible without you coming. We have another one coming up, and we're hoping that whoever's planning on volunteering, just try and be there probably around 8:30 so we can get everybody at their stations on time, and we can take care of the families well. All right? All right. A reminder about church closing, okay, on any Wednesday through the winter. If Kalamazoo Christian Schools are closed, we will not have Awana or Bible study and post it by 3 p.m. Sunday morning. We are open if you can safely travel. In the event of a large snowfall, we will post the closing on Channel 3 or on our Facebook page, okay? Okay, a little reminding there in the note, Let's Paint, Teen Buddy Painting. Also remember about the food pantry, okay? See Sister Krista or Lynn about that. A reminder for LAC ladies and their meeting, okay? Men's prayer breakfast, that's on Tuesdays at 8:30 a.m. at McDonald's on 9th Street. I've been going to that. I've been to two. So far, we're going through 1 Peter. It's been an awesome time of study, reflection, and prayer as well. So we know a lot of people are working at the time, but if you have the opportunity to make it out, please join us. It's a good time of fellowship, all right? Excellent. A few side notes here that were given to me. I just want to let you all know, Bethany Christian Services dropped off some gifts, okay? That's actually an understatement. 2 to 3 rooms full of gifts, like up to the ceilings, stacked, okay? So what we need, I have some volunteer sign-up sheets out at the greeting station there in the middle of the lobby. If you could stop, take a look there, you'll see it's labeled. We need volunteer drivers to deliver gifts, okay? So if you could go ahead, sign in, sign up your name, your telephone number, I think your email address as well. We'd appreciate that because that is a need that we have, okay? Also, we had a funeral here yesterday. And that went very smoothly. Thank you for everyone who came and volunteered for that. I heard that people even stayed like half an hour to an hour afterwards cleaning up. So we really appreciate our volunteers. So if you haven't had an opportunity to serve in that way, please consider serving with the delivery. That'd be pretty cool. And that's going to be really reaching out and touching some lives, foster care families, as I understand it. Okay? So if you have questions about that, the Bethany Christian Services gift delivery, please get a hold of Pastor Thaddeus, okay? I just love that name, don't you? I know you love that name. Thaddeus. Sounds so cool. Don't call him Thad anymore. Call him Thaddeus. Thaddeus. Good. Okay. I think those are all the important announcements. We're going to have a baptism here. I'm going to pray again because I love Jesus, okay? Father God, this is really good news. I'm excited about this. I'm super excited about this. People coming to know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Fellowship with you, relationship with you, our God, forever. That we can come to even now and have a conversation. Lord, would you touch us? Would you reach in to our hearts and change us with your word today? That we would get serious about spreading your word to the people in this lost and dying world. It really is. God, thank you for your word, for your truth. Oh, Lord, help us. Keep us from petty arguments and fights, idle talk. But God, help us to always be thankful, to always be rejoicing, and to encourage one another with your truth, to have true, genuine love for each other. I see that here in this church. I want it to grow, God. I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I pray that you'll do that today through your word and throughout our week as we interact and pray for one another. Bless little Chevy, who's given a profession today, and bless our fellowship as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could look to your neighbor, okay? This is fellowship time, okay? Look to your neighbor. Find somebody you don't talk to very often and ask them, how long you been coming here, okay? How long you been coming here, all right?
If everybody could find their seats, please. I got nervous when Carl said it's a greeting, it's a fellowship time, because I know how we like to fellowship. I was afraid somebody was going to start breaking out some food. All right. Well, this morning we have a special treat. This morning, I'm going to invite Chevron Matthews to come on down here. This is Chevron Matthews, and his mother is Sanny, and, I just forgot your last, Henry, right? Sanny Henry. And Sanny's sitting right down front filming, and a couple weeks ago, when Dr. Ball was here, afterward, Chevron came to me, and he said, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. And so we talked about it, and right there at the front of the church, Chevron prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. And what was neat is I prayed for him, and then he just talked to God all by himself. And that was a pretty neat thing, wasn't it, buddy?
Yes.
So Chevron, he's a little nervous in here, okay? Chevron, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
And Chevron, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, go ahead and grab my arm. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray here together. Lord God, I thank you for Chevron and his testimony of faith in you. I thank you, Lord, that he wanted to be obedient, and right away he wanted to know when he could be baptized. And so, Lord, I pray that that attitude of obedience, that heart to do what you want him to do, that, Lord, it would continue. And I pray for Sani, Lord, as she raises him, I pray that you would give her strength, give her wisdom. I pray that she would know that she has a church family that will surround her, help her, encourage her. And Lord, as Chevron continues to grow, that he would be a man who does what's right, he would be excellent at doing the things that are good, and that he would be innocent concerning those things that are evil. It is done as you have commanded this morning, Lord, and yet there is room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's stand together. We're going to open up this morning with a song. Oh, come all you faithful. They took my list, sorry.
Come, let us adore him. Oh,
sing hallelujah. Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, all ye faithful. He alone is worthy. Oh, sing hallelujah. Is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, made in time, behold Him come, offspring of
to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We don't deserve anything that you give us, but yet you love us anyway. You give us blessings in our life. And Father, we thank you so much for that. Father, we just pray this morning as our pastor's coming, we just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him this morning, Lord. We just pray that he'd have the words directly from you that would touch our hearts, Lord, and that we'd be receptive to what you have for us. Father, we just pray you forgive us where we fail you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you just for our health and our families and the way that you bless us each day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back a portion of what you have allowed us to earn. And we just pray that we'd use it in a way that would be pleasing to you and that you would get honor and glory through all things in our life. And we pray that you just be with us, forgive us of our sins, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Proper place, no regal palace to receive a royal birth. God's gift of love wrapped in a blanket would be his way to reach the earth. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? Would a lamb be born? No stately palace and no noble mansion where he would reign in majesty. The path he chose led to an altar where he would give his life for you and me. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human
form one would expect, more than a stable. But where else would this lamb be born? But where else would this lamb be born? He is the great I Am, the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. A bed of straw became his cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would this lamb be born? But where else would this
thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And one more announcement. On December 23rd and on December 30th, we are taking up our annual Gift for Christ. And the Gift for Christ is just a special offering that we take up. We have options to use how to use it, and part of that is dependent on what comes in. And so, one of the things that we've talked about is debt retirement. But it would take $1 million or $2 offering to do that. So, if God lays it on your heart, by all means, make that your gift for Christ, and that would be wonderful. We're also looking at. In the budget next year, we don't have money set aside for Game Changer, and so we're looking at Game Changer money, which is used for outreach in the community, and it's ideas that you have that and ways to do that and to reach into the community. And so we don't have an exact fix on it yet because we need to see what the total will be, so just keep that in mind as we take up the offering on the Gift for Christ special offering, December 23rd and December 30th. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. And we've been going through a series on when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. And some of you are really sharp and you go, wait a minute, John is in the New Testament. You're right. But we're still going to look at a time when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. But we have to start in the book of John. As you're turning there, the Santa Claus at the shopping mall was very surprised when Emily, a young lady of about 25 years old, walked up and sat on his knee. Now, we all know that Santa doesn't usually take requests from adults, but she smiled very nicely at him. So he asked, "What do you want for Christmas?" She said, "Well, it's not for me, it's for my mother." "Something for your mother?" he said. "Yes, something for my mother." "Well, that's very loving and thoughtful of you," smiled the shopping mall Santa. "What would you like me to bring to her?" Without missing a beat, Emily answered quickly, "A son-in-law." No. John chapter 8 and verse 56. It says this. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, I'm just going to give you fair warning, Bo. Sorry. As I was going through my message, I'm breaking this into a two-parter. So Bo's going to stick with me the best he can with the slides. And if I preach the whole thing today, we'll be here till 1:30. So you don't want me to, I don't know, maybe somebody does, but you are in the vast minority. So so I'm actually breaking this up into two portions. But first of all, we need to understand what's taking place here. Jesus is speaking with the scribes and Pharisees in John chapter 8. And he's in an intense discussion with them. In fact, at one point during this conversation, he will say, "You are of your father, the devil." All right? Nothing more confrontational than that, right? I mean, that's about as bold and harsh as you could possibly get. So this isn't like a friendly banter between friends. This is a confrontational moment in history where Jesus is trying to convey the truth of himself. And as he does that, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." He's telling them, Abraham wanted to meet me and see me, and he saw me and met me. Now, wait a minute. Abraham is, you know, a couple thousand years, not more than a couple, about 4,000 years maybe, before Jesus was born. And so they're kind of looking at it like going, wait a minute. So in verse 57, "Then said the Jews to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?'" They're questioning his mental stability right here. "You're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you have met Abraham?" So look at verse 58. Jesus says to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." This is really powerful stuff right here. So when I read stuff like this, I'm like, well, when did Jesus meet Abraham, right? I mean, anybody else thinking that? Or are the rest of you like, who cares, you know? I mean, when I read this, I was reading through, I was a freshman in college, okay? And I have it marked in my Bible. I read this and I'm like, I put a question mark, when? So then I start studying. And you know what you have to do? You have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. So turn to Genesis chapter 14, put a mark there, your bulletin or a pen or something, and then turn over to Hebrews chapter 7, okay? So Genesis 14, put a mark there, and then you go over to Hebrews chapter 7. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 110, verse 4, it says this, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent." He didn't say a swear word, okay? "He committed an oath. He made a viable statement of truth." And here's what he said. He said, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." All right? This is David making a messianic prophecy, which is a prophecy about Jesus before Jesus came to the earth in human form. And this prophecy was about how he would be on the earth. And here's what David says, "You are a priest after the order of Melchizedek." And in Hebrews chapter 5, it says in verse 6, and he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In Hebrews 5, it's just quoting Psalm 110. So this Melchizedek character is the priesthood that Jesus took on. And you're like, okay, help me with priesthood. Okay, we're going to get really deep for a minute. Everybody okay with this? Is everybody awake? Anybody need to go another cup of coffee real quick? Okay, need you to be real sharp as you listen to this. Here is the order of priesthoods. The first priesthood ever mentioned in Scripture is the order of Melchizedek. Okay? This is 500 plus years before the law was given to Moses. This is before there was the Ten Commandments. This is before there was a tribe called Levi, and God chose that the Levites would be the priests for Israel. This is before all of that. That God had established this order of Melchizedek. The second priesthood was the priesthood that Moses, through Aaron, his brother, and then the tribe of Levi, carried on until the time of Christ. And that was the priesthood that offered animal sacrifices. And they would offer sacrifices so that God would be temporarily appeased for the sins of the people. And so the two priesthoods are a little bit different because we don't see Melchizedek make a sacrificial offering. We'll look a lot more at Melchizedek in just a second. But the other priesthood is a priesthood that offered animal sacrifices. Now, which priesthood did Jesus come in? Well, he fulfilled the priesthood of Levi because he had in his bloodline, through Mary, Levitical priesthood in his blood. He also had kingly blood in him through his father, Joseph. Well, not really his father, his stepdad. Okay, but his inheritance line. Also, though, the interesting thing about Mary, half her blood is Levitical. You know what the other half is? Judah, kingly. Because Jesus, when he was born, was priest and king. Let's go back to the very beginning of this year. I know we're looking back 11 months. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. To help you out, it's up there on the walls, okay? And he hath made us kings and priests. Jesus was both a king and a priest. He fulfilled the priesthood of Aaron through the tribe of Levi. But his real priesthood was in Melchizedek. So we got to know who this Melchizedek guy is, right? Anybody here just like, man, tell me who this guy is. I've got to know this. Anybody? All right, Paul, I'm preaching to you, brother. Everybody else, you can just, you're on for the ride, all right? Chapter 7, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, all right, here he is. This is how we're going to get to know this guy. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Wait a minute, Melchizedek is both a king and a priest? There's only one other person in all of Scripture who met that requirement, and that was Jesus. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now that sounds awesome. The slaughter of the kings? Anybody like, I don't care about that. Just tell me more about Melchizedek. No, we got to stop. What is the slaughter of the kings? Right? I mean, this is the Bible, folks. When you read the Bible, you got to understand that it is just doing this. It's weaving together God's story. And in God's story, there are stories of failure. There are stories of victory. And there are just some downright crazy things that happened. Why? Because God used humanity to bring it to the penultimate point, the finale, that Christ came for man. So, we got to understand what this slaughter of the kings is, right? Anybody else going to be like, I cannot go home until I know the slaughter of the kings, okay? All right, good. Paul, I'm preaching two Pauls. All right, go to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14 to read about the slaughter of the kings. So, in Genesis 14... there are four kingdoms that are in a war against five kingdoms. And I'm not going to read through all the kings because you'll just get lost in the weird names and you'll get lost. So I'm going to give you two kings, though, that you're going to be like, oh, I know those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah. We're familiar with them because those are bad cities that God at one point rained fire on and destroyed them. This is the end of them. Well, this is actually a few years before that. Abraham, remember Jesus said, I knew Abraham? And they're like, you're not even 50 years old. He lived thousands of years ago. How in the world did that happen? Okay, that Abraham, He had a nephew named Lot. Lot lived in Sodom. He chose the land that was in Sodom. There's a war that takes place. Sodom and Gomorrah are part of five kingdoms that go up against a four-kingdom conglomerate. When they go to war, the four-kingdom conglomerate wins. So the four beats the five. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah get caught in this place called the slime pit. All right? Anybody here ever been to Hollywood, California? La Brea Tar Pits. You ever heard of the La Brea Tar Pits? It's much the same type of idea. A place where if you stepped in it, it wasn't like quicksand. It was more like tar. It was a place where you get caught there. It is hard to get out of there, these slime pits. And so the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, their army got ran into the slime pits. And so some of them escaped off into the mountains, but most of them are just standing there sitting ducks for the conglomerate of four armies to come and kill them. Well, somebody escaped the battle, and they ran to Abraham. When they get to Abraham, they're like, Abraham, Lot has been taken captive. So Lot is in captivity to this conglomerate of four kings. Abraham grabs 318 of his servants. Abraham had 318 servants that were trained for war. I don't know if you knew this about Abraham, but he was secretly a ninja. He was a ninja samurai, Navy SEAL, Marine. I'll say that for Scott's benefit. All right. He was a bad dude. We don't even know about that because we just read about the spiritual things, okay? Abraham trained 318 of his servants to be warriors. So he says, hey, guys, we got a war to fight. I mean, we think about Abraham and we think about this guy. He walked with God and, you know, he couldn't have a child until he was 100 years old and, you know, all these things. This guy has a lot going on in his life. He is tough. He takes 318 servants, and he goes to war with the four armies that just defeated the five armies. And he whoops them. He doesn't just whoop them. He takes all the people they had taken captive, and he takes all their stuff. I mean, when you think about Abraham, just don't think about old dude with a beard, okay? You got to think like ninja warrior. I mean, this guy, he led 318 soldiers. I don't know how many thousands. The Bible doesn't give us any idea about how many people were in these other armies. But it's four armies. He tracks them down, takes them down. And so now, Genesis chapter 14, in verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. That's why I didn't do the names, see? Just think, conglomerate of four armies. Ah, yeah, that makes more sense. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons, the people that you rescued, and you take the goods to yourself. So all the silver, gold, all the valuable things that the armies carried with them. He says, you take the stuff, you give me the people. Look at Abraham's response to him. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is yours, because you might say, I made Abraham rich. Except only that which the young man have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me. He says, we're not taking anything from you except the food that we've already eaten. Because I don't want anyone to say that we were made rich by the king of Sodom. It was the Lord God who protected us. Now, let's just think about war for a second. To the victor goes the... all the stuff that was won in the battle, who did it belong to? Abraham. Did not belong to the king of Sodom here. He's way overstepping his bounds by saying, oh, I'll let you keep the stuff. Let us have the people. You know, if I'm Abraham, I'm like, I'm finishing the job. Good thing Abraham's a better man than me. Abraham says, I will not let you receive the glory for what I possess. Abraham already has a lot of, he has 318 servants. I think that's more than any of us have, right? And he's trained them to be warriors. And I tell you what, this man is a great man. And you know what made him great? The glory went to the Most High God. Now, all Abraham actually did there was repeat what Melchizedek had said to him just before that. Let's look at some more at this Melchizedek. Go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. So verse 1 said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So now we all know what that means, right? Do you feel better? I hope so. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. The king of Sodom said, I want all the stuff, right? Abraham didn't need the stuff because God had already blessed him. You know what Abraham did? A tenth of everything he already possessed, which had to be an incredible amount of wealth. If he's got 318 male servants that are able to go to war, you have to imagine that he's probably got over 1,000 people that live under his care that tend to what he owns. And he takes a tenth of that and gives it to Melchizedek, this king and priest of the Most High God. Now let's read together the rest of verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. Now this is letting us know who this Melchizedek is. King of righteousness. I mean, who else could be the king of righteousness other than the Lord Jesus Christ? And after that, another name for him, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, speaking of Jesus, before Jesus came as a baby, says that he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Melchizedek here is called the King of Peace. But now verse 3 gives it away who Melchizedek really is. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Who's Melchizedek? It's Jesus. He is part of the triune God. Triune means three in one. He is part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Melchizedek is the person of Jesus. No descent. No father or mother. See, this is Melchizedek came onto the scene long before Mary had the baby. Because Jesus is the I am. When he said to the Pharisees and to the Jews, when they said, you're not even 50 years old, how in the world can you say that you met Abraham? He says, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Because he is the ever-existing, always-living, forever being that will never cease. He is the I am. Before there was anything, he spoke something into existence. He is the I am. And there is none other that has any kind of power that can even touch his. He is the Melchizedek of the Old Testament. Now read verse 4 in Hebrews 7. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. All right, I'm not going to preach on giving, okay? I could, right? That'd be easy to preach on giving right now and just lay it into you. I just got a simple question for you. How much do you reverence God? How worthy and valuable is Jesus Christ? If you don't know, look at the way you give, because it reflects the reverence that you show him. Abraham, he was so enamored with Jesus come in the flesh with the name of Melchizedek at the time, that he gave a tenth of all he had. That's how he showed his reverence. That's how he displayed how much Jesus meant to him. In your bulletins, point number one, Jesus is Melchizedek. In case you didn't get that, Jesus is Melchizedek. He is the first order of the priests. Okay. Before there was a law that God gave to Moses to establish an order of priesthood, there was Melchizedek, who was Jesus come to earth long before he was born through Mary. When he came to earth, he displayed his priesthood. Now, what does that mean? What does his priesthood mean to us? Here's what his priesthood means. It means that he not only offered sacrifice, but his priesthood is, he is the sacrifice. The scriptures tell us, it says that Jesus is the propitiation. I know, big word. And every time you hear a big word, you just mind off, go to sleep until you get to a small word that I understand. Okay, propitiation, here's all that means. It's hilasterion in the Greek. It means mercy seat. Jesus is the mercy seat for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How is this Melchizedek figure, how does this priesthood fit in with us today? Here's how it fits in. Melchizedek was the person Jesus, the King of righteousness, the King of peace. And he came to the earth to meet Abraham after Abraham, one of his greatest victories. I've never chased four armies away. I haven't even trained 318 soldiers, right? This comes after a great victory. And Abraham is offered a position of prestige with the five kings who he rescued. And Jesus meets with him because Jesus allows Abraham to understand the sacrifice for sins. All right, one more passage, and we'll have to come back and finish this up next week. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 6. Galatians 3, verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're going to close with this thought. We'll have to complete it next Sunday. This is just awesome. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, right? Okay, what is Christmas? The birth of Jesus. I don't even need to call it, I don't even like calling it Christmas. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? We're going to celebrate the birth of the Savior for us. Here's what Jesus, Melchizedek, the sacrifice, he preached this to Abraham. He said, "Abraham, I will come to earth as the Messiah, the Christ," which means the anointed one, "through your family. Your family will be a nation that is without number. Your family will produce the Messiah. And that Messiah will be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That Messiah will die on the cross and shed blood. He'll be buried in a tomb, and he'll rise again from the dead." Melchizedek preached that to Abraham. "And all the world will be blessed through you, because I will bring the Messiah through you." Melchizedek was essentially saying, "I will be born through your bloodline many years from now." So now as Jesus, let's go back down to John chapter 8. Now as Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." But before that, he said, "Abraham rejoiced to see me in his day," because Jesus and Abraham had a face-to-face where Jesus, under the name of King of Righteousness, King of Peace, had a conversation with Abraham and taught him the gospel. See, what is the coming of Christ all about? It's all about him being the sacrifice for us. And if that doesn't stir your heart, I don't know what else will. This is the vein of the entire Bible. Everything that's in the Bible weaves into this story in some way or another. Even the slaughter of the kings weaves into the story that Jesus would come and be the sacrifice for our sins. He is the great high priest. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you are our great high priest. And Lord, as I was so inadequate in the way I explained this morning, I pray that your word would just seep into our hearts and minds, that it would demonstrate the greatness of these thoughts, that before Abraham was, you are. And you met with Abraham, and he rejoiced to meet his Savior. And God, you have opened that same meeting up to each one of us today. You are available to meet with all of us today if we would only come to you. It is your desire this morning, Lord, that we all have the same type of story, the same type of testimony. When Jesus said, "I met with Abraham," I believe that it is your will to meet with each one of us. And it starts with salvation. So, Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their sacrifice for sin, if they've never asked you to come into their life and change them from the inside out and make them who you want them to be, then I pray, Lord, that today that you would put that testimony into their lives. And for those who have that, Lord, I pray that we would just rejoice as people who are blessed with faithful Abraham, that our faith today is the same faith that was back then, and that, Lord, it is the same faith that Jesus wanted for those Pharisees and Jews to understand. Help us to see you today, to be thankful for who you are. You are an awesome God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked Rachel to sing just a song for us in closing. It's called Testimony. I love this song because it's something that we all need in our life. A testimony of when we came to Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have one, if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, then today I want to invite you to just come up here and tell me that you want to trust Jesus. And that would be the greatest joy in my life. It would be the greatest joy that could take place here today is if you would just come to Jesus. And I'd love to invite you to come and tell me that you want to trust Jesus. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you know what? You've just been kind of like mundane in that walk with the Lord. That relationship has just kind of gone stale or crusty or old. Today, I want to encourage you to let that be revived. Let it come back anew. To think about the fact that Jesus, the same one who met with Abraham, he wants to meet with you. And today, you can have some conversation with him. And today, you can say, I saw the Lord Jesus, and I spent time with him, and I hope that that'll just brighten your day and fill your week with hope and optimism. As Rachel sings, I'm going to invite you to stand, so if anyone would like to come out, it's easy, and let's just spend some time worshiping the Lord as we close out the service.
Because of Jesus, God.
just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you that you are the I Am, the ever self-existent one. I thank you, Lord, that you chose to meet with humanity. And after meeting with humanity, you chose to take on humanity and be clothed in the flesh of a human, and that you took my sin, and that you paid the price for the wrongs that I have committed, and you have forever given me forgiveness. I possess eternal life because of your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be all power and glory, honor and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord